Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Welcome to another episode of Hope for Today. Last week, we looked at the heart of giving. This was the first of several lessons where we will look at different aspects of giving. Jesus is quoted in Acts as saying, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." If you can, turn to 2 Corinthians 8, and Bible teacher J. Mark will expound on the topic of achieving excellence in giving.
At Heralds of Hope, one of our values is organizational excellence, a principle that's deeply rooted in Bible teaching. I personally find excellence to be a challenging pursuit, and I've come to understand that my values significantly influence my quest for excellence. The more a task aligns with my values, the more I'm driven to excel and to complete it on time. You know, as a child, I sometimes rushed through the task just so I could check it off my list. But my parents would gently remind me that any job is worth doing right. They wanted me to learn the joy and satisfaction that comes from doing a job well. And you know, this principle applies to all of our life, including giving and serving others, and it brings a sense of fulfillment and contentment. Under the law of Moses, God demanded the best animals as a sacrifice. In Colossians 3, after listing a number of qualities that we are to put on, Paul twice says, "Whatever you do in speech or in action, do it in the name of Jesus with excellence." And so no area of my life or yours is exempt from this command. Last week, we began a study on the subject of giving, and my teaching was entitled The Heart of Giving. Today's teaching is Achieving Excellence in Giving, and we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verses 8 through 15. So if you have your Bible or your phone handy where you can turn to that scripture, that is 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verses 8 to 15. Listen as I read God's word. "I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack." Paul's instruction in this passage provides the steps you and I can take to achieve excellence in giving. The first step toward that is find the pattern. If you want to pursue excellence, where do you begin? You begin by finding a pattern to follow. That can be a plan on paper, or it can be a person who maybe is skilled in their field. Paul points the Corinthian believers and us to Jesus as a pattern for excellence in giving. In verse 1 of this chapter, Paul told the Corinthians about the grace that God had bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. He was talking about the gift they collected for the Jerusalem church. And so verse 9 begins with a similar phrase, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is the gift of salvation. And then Paul goes on to show us the pattern of excellence in giving. "Though he," Jesus, "was rich in every way, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich." Jesus is the creator and sustainer of all things, according to Scripture. He is God in the flesh. He is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere present, and he's eternal in his existence. He owns everything and he controls everything. That's hard to imagine. It's hard for our minds to grasp. And yet, for our sakes, for yours and for mine, he became poor. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that even though he was equal with God, he didn't insist on holding on to that equality. Instead, he voluntarily emptied himself of his divine privilege. He didn't empty himself of his divinity, just the divine privilege, and took on human form. And not only that, but he became obedient to the point of death, even the degrading death of a Roman cross. And he did this for us, for you and me, as his enemies, so we could become his brothers. What a fantastic gift! Through his poverty, you and I are made rich. We are made heirs of God together with Christ. In my previous teaching on giving, I said that one of the primary motivations that reveals the heart of giving is a dedication to God. And that's what we see exemplified in the life of Jesus. His life was an act of self-devotion. He gave himself to the Father. Instead of thinking about himself, he was thinking about you and he was thinking about me. The Macedonian believers understood and embraced the gift of God through Jesus, and that's why they could give even beyond their ability. If you and I are serious about achieving excellence in giving, then we must meditate more deeply on the pattern Jesus gave us. 1 John 3:16 and 17 says this, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? How can I obey the command to lay down my life for my brother if I'm not willing to open my heart and my hand to help him with his financial needs?" You see, too often, I hold tightly to what God has given me. I think of all kinds of reasons, some of them logical, even biblical, for not opening my hands or my wallet to meet that need. I find this text to be deeply convicting. So the first step to achieving excellence in giving is to find the pattern, and that pattern is Jesus. The next step to achieve excellence in giving is follow the procedure. In verse 8, Paul wrote that he was testing the sincerity of their love by the diligence of others. In other words, he was holding up the example of the Macedonian believers as a pattern, going back to our first point, for the Corinthians to follow. Paul challenged the Corinthians to finish what they had started. It seems that they had been among the first to commit to raising funds for the needs of the church in Jerusalem, but they never followed through. And so Paul says, "It will be beneficial for you to finish the work that you promised to do." They had been quick to pledge, but slow to fulfill. Someone once said, "The smallest good deed is better than the greatest intention." One time, I was with a group of men and we were talking about some of Heralds of Hope's financial needs, and one of the men said, "If I had $1 million, I'd donate it to the ministry." And another man who was present in the room quickly spoke up and said, "What about the $20 in your wallet?" You see, it's easy to deal with what is theoretical, what we can't do, but it's much more costly to deal in reality, that is, to do what we can do. And so Paul said giving should be based on what they had. He challenged the Corinthians with the example of the Macedonians, who had given beyond their ability. But he also pointed out that the acceptability of their gift was based on what they had, not what they didn't have. If you and I want to achieve excellence in giving, we must first find the pattern, Jesus' example, and then follow the procedure, moving from intention to action. And then the final step to achieve excellence in giving is fulfill the purpose. Look with me at verses 13 and 14. "For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality." To achieve excellence in giving, you must know why you're giving. The purpose, according to the text, is equality. But what does that mean? It is a likeness in condition or proportion. It's the state of being equal, but it also includes an element of justice. Greek scholars point out that this isn't necessarily equality of condition, but equality growing out of Christian relationships. Paul encourages the Corinthians and us to realize that roles could someday be reversed. Instead of being the givers, we could be the ones who are in need. It's helpful to remember Jesus' words when he said, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put in your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." What does equality look like? When someone's priorities differ from mine, it may appear that they live in poverty. I would never buy a new car, but I don't want to drive a rusty beater. Someone else may be content to drive a rusty beater, even though they could afford something that would be much nicer. When true poverty does exist, it isn't necessarily a reflection of a person's character, their motivation, or their choices. There are things that happen beyond our control that can leave us in great financial difficulty. Jesus said, "We will have the poor with us always." Why? At least in part, so we can learn how to achieve excellence in giving. Paul closes this section by quoting a loose paraphrase of Exodus 16, 16 and 17, where Moses instructed the people about gathering manna. "He who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack." Much of the modern church has lost this concept of caring for our brothers and sisters. I commend churches with programs in place to assist their brothers and sisters in the event of catastrophic losses. It is always encouraging to see the generosity of God's people in response to human suffering. Do you want to achieve excellence in giving? This teaching from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 gives you clear steps to follow to reach that goal. First, find the pattern. His name is Jesus. Then follow the procedure. Don't just talk about giving, do it. And finally, fulfill the purpose. Give to relieve your brother's burden, knowing that someday, most likely, the circumstances will be reversed. Together, let's take these steps that lead us along the path to achieving excellence in giving.
Thanks, J. Mark, for sharing these three steps to help us in our giving. Three steps which are not very specific, but they are specific enough to provide an action on our part. I especially felt this on his second point, follow the procedure. He didn't give us the specifics of when or a recommendation of how much. And of course, how could he, since this teaching will be heard in many areas? Some of us may make one a day, and the next might make 100 in a day. 100 what, you ask? But it doesn't matter if it's one or 100 anything. It's up to us to give, and it is to our benefit if we have a procedure in place, a normal for us. There really are many different ways to go about it. The important thing is to find a way that works for you. Then follow it. Do it. I thought each of J. Mark's points was similar in that they were general but specific enough to give us an action. So may we be doers of the word and not hearers only. If you have questions about today's teaching, or if you'd like to hear it again, please feel free to contact us. The best way is via email, and our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can connect with us on our website, which is heraldsofhope.org. We would love to hear from you, so feel free to contact us however it is easiest for you. Thanks again for joining us on Hope for Today, and we encourage you to live out the things you heard today. Till next time, be faithful, and let's do our best to live out the teaching of Jesus from Acts, where he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."